Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is a brief review of a book called Thoughts in Solitude by Thomas Merton. Now, there's a longer version of this on my website, malcolmcox.org, and you can see that there. 1,800 words or so, but let me give you a brief overview for the purposes of this recording. So what he's arguing is that the world is populated by too many mindless men and women. People have not yet learned how to choose. He says automatons cannot make a society. And so we've got to learn how to choose, and especially how to choose the life of faith. He says we cannot choose faith unless we have self-determination and freedom. And he would argue that solitude is a vital tool in enabling choice. Time spent alone with God is a way to help us to understand where we are, where God is, and how to then choose. So spiritual disciplines are his focus here. Spiritual disciplines in solitude, perhaps solitude being one of the most important, at least utilized spiritual disciplines. Jesus sets us an example in Mark chapter 1 when he goes off to a solitary place to pray. And Luke 5:16, similar idea. So we need to go away. We need to go into a desert. The desert as a wilderness, a place of creativity, not a place of it could be a place of suffering and lack, but it's creative in that it enables us to be close to God. If God is the only one there in the wilderness, then he and we can develop a closeness and a clarity. And he can help us to be clear and help to feed us as he does Jesus in Luke 4 and other passages. He discusses discretion, courage, the place of pleasure, the significance of gratitude, humility in the example of Jesus, the upheaval that we need in our lives so that we can hear God's voice. Then meditative prayer creates that, or the space for that spiritual helpful upheaval. Prayer is a major topic, and reading as a spiritual discipline. In the second part of the book, The Love of Solitude, it focuses more on how to enjoy and to value solitude, and how sometimes in solitude we find anxiety, but that anxiety helps us because we then are driven to God to relieve that anxiety. We should not avoid solitude for fear of anxiety, but to see that it can be the place where anxiety can be relieved. Prayer is affected by times of solitude because we find God there. Solitude helps us grow because in silence we become more aware of the immensity of God. He says it is a greater thing and a better prayer to live in him who is infinite and to rejoice that he is infinite, and to strive always to press his infinity into the narrow space of our own hearts. In other words, trying to bring God into us diminishes him, while taking ourselves into him grows us. Nice idea, nice thought, I like that. He talks about solitude not being an end in itself, that the actions must follow. We're not running away from life, we're running to solitude so that we can run back into life. The essence of the book, I suppose, it's concerned with creating enough space to be heard by God, to hear God, and to handle the reality of our life, but with God. And I think Merton gives us plenty of sound reasoning to demonstrate the value of solitude. I'd say his use of scripture to support his points is variable in its effectiveness, and some of his interpretation ventures into the more allegorical territory than is warranted. In fact, more scripture overall would have been helpful. I'd say my primary criticism of the book would be Merton's argument that to be a solitary is a vocation. I think there's scant biblical testimony for this. To choose the life of a solitary cannot be easy at all, but it does avoid many of the community aspects of the way God forms Christ in us. I can't help but wonder if a certain kind of person becomes a solitary to avoid those hardships. I'd say that most of the short chapters are compact nuggets of spiritual gold. Some are more questionable as to their relevance for the average Christ follower. Read the book, see what you think. I think you'll likely benefit from its company and reach the conclusion that more solitude in your life would be helpful. Keep an open mind about what makes you uncomfortable in the book, but do not accept all of Merton's ideas just because they come from such a persuasive writer and a deep thinker. Anyway, if you want to read the book, I hope you do, actually, and if you've got thoughts, post your thoughts here or on my blog, or message me if you like, mccx@mac.com. Have a lovely day, take care, and God bless.